You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I am here by myself today. I think, some very important things for us to go over, and we're going to be joined sometime next week by our good friend and Deputy Traditionalist Worker Party leader, Mr. Tony Hovater, to discuss his ongoing case. As many of you know, Tony has been very active, of course, in our party from the very beginning. You know, he's one of the founding party members of the TWP. And, you know, for that, he sacrificed. He sacrificed time. He sacrificed money. He sacrificed having his name dragged through the mud. He has been at our demonstrations. He was there in Charlottesville. He was there at so many of our different demonstrations. And, you know, there was this recent profile of him, and we've talked about this before, but this profile of him about the, basically being a national socialist in modern day America. And, you know, what's interesting is this dehumanization that's going on against national socialists, because Tony, of course, was really put forward as being a normal dude. And anyone who knows him, a lot of comrades do, know that he is just a good, hardworking husband. He's a good community member. He engages in not just with the party, but outside of work, he engages in charity. And no one, you probably couldn't find anyone who has a negative thing to say about him, except the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League. But of course, Tony has had to deal with being fired, along with his wife and his brother-in-law, from their jobs for the sake of being National Socialists, of being members of the Traditionalist Worker Party. And this is a sort of, really just harassment that we deal with. And we're going to be linking, here for the show, the fundraiser that has been so amazingly successful. Of course, losing their jobs, having to find a new home is very, very stressful, especially for a newlywed couple. And his wife is just such an absolute sweetheart to be able to just be just a happy warrior. But it's been very, very stressful on Tony. I mean, we all make sacrifices, especially post-Charlottesville. How many people lost their jobs, comrades that are behind the wire as POWs? It's a very stressful situation, but the outpouring of support for Tony has been amazing. This fundraiser to be able to help them relocate and to be able to support them as they find new work has been amazing. They're originally asking for $1,000 alone just to be able to help them move, to get them through the next month. But this outpouring of support really goes to show the fraternity that our movement has. They've raised now over $8,000, which is just amazing. I mean, you talk about a Christmas gift to a family. And when one of our men puts themselves on the line, especially as a family man, and is really able to put themselves out there, and to just see the amount of love that comes back, it is just so impressive. And I want to thank you, my dear listeners. I know some of you have contacted me, have already supported the Hovaders, but I want us to be able to do our part to make sure that they know how much we support them and we care about them, because we're all in this together. We're just one big family. And, you know, if the system finds out with their crackdowns to get us fired from our jobs or evicted from the places that we're renting and stuff like that, when they see that that doesn't work, it's a testament to our strength that when we can come together and support one another. I mean, you think about the tithe, and I hate talking about money. That's definitely not my strong suit. I hate sounding like a Baptist pastor, when it comes to passing the hat. But we need to do more to be able to support our comrades like Tony and others. You know, there's so many projects that are coming up just in the Traditionalist Worker Party. We want to be able to roll out for 2018 that our main chapters by the end of 2018 have their own buildings to be able to hold meetings, but also to be able to be a focal point for distribution of charity to the local community, whether that's food, whether that's new or gently used clothing, whether that's school supplies. You know, we've been doing that. We've been going door to door. We've been organizing things, but we need to be able to have a presence in our communities where people physically know that there's a place to go, that if you're one of our family, you're one of our tribe, that we're going to be able to take care of you. So this outpouring of support for Tony, it just has to be continued. We have to keep pushing on to be able to do our part. So every single member of our national community knows that we're on their team, that we're on their side, and they can count on us because they can't count on the Republicans, they can't count on the Democrats, they can't count on the Constitution Party, they can't count on the Democratic Socialists, they can't count on the Green Party. But they need to be able to count on us. And that's by providing real community support. And this is what's worked for Golden Dawn. This is what Forza Nova and Casa Pound have done in Italy. This is what nationalists are doing all throughout Europe. And it just goes to show that we don't care about money. We don't care about prestige. We don't care about pats on the back. We care about our family. And especially as we're coming into to Christmas, this is a time of giving, a time of love, a time of support. And we need to really kind of orient ourselves towards that charity, going to rallies and demonstrations, handing out copies of our newspaper, putting stickers, leaflets is so important. Educating our family members, educating our community members, our coworkers is crucial. But at the heart of everything that we do is charity. It comes from a spirit of love. And this is something that National Socialists have always practiced. I mean, going back to the Winter Relief Program.
And we're back. Technical difficulties. I bet the Jews did this. But as I was saying, comrades, you look at the National Socialists with the Winter Relief Program. One of the most important things to be able to understand is that spirit of charity. It's got to pervade everything that we do. Every element of nationalism is built on self-sacrifice, is built on charity, and that can't be understated. And we need to really be pushing forward. So, as we're coming into this new year, I want folks to look around, to how they can invest in nationalism, how they can invest in the future of our families and of our children. And that doesn't mean, of course, as we all know, the Traditionalist Worker Party, as an example, is a volunteer organization. For me on down, every single member pays the exact same amount of dues. This isn't about staff positions. It isn't about paychecks or things like that. Because I think when money gets involved, to be paying staff, then it becomes a job. It's really not a service of love. This is about really investing in community programs. So we're going to have, I think, a very, eager sort of policy that we're going to be putting forward, when January comes around for projects that we're going to be doing in 2018 to continue to develop real infrastructure. We've got doctors that are members of our party that have discussed the wanting to be able to do free clinics, but we need space to be able to do that. We need reliable space that can't be canceled or threatened away from us. We need to be able to know that this is our space, to claim physical space. And you look, the left does this all the time, whether it's anarchists or communist squats all around major American cities or in European cities. When they claim physical space, that has a profound psychological impact. And we have to do that. I mean, this is not the time. The internet is great, but it has to be a tool. We can't limit ourselves to just the internet. We have to continue to be more and more engaged in the real world. And that's what we're going to be doing. So a lot of exciting projects, and it's going to take your help. It's going to take my help. It's going to take Tony's help. It's going to take every single comrade's help, because we're going to be able to come together this as one people's community, as one family with one vision to ensure that our people come together. So that's what we're going to be working on. Now, in terms of some things that to discuss, within the alt-right, there has been a lot of discussion within the past few months, really. And it's interesting. There's nothing new under the sun, and we all know this. But so many of the questions, reactionary politics that have seen some elements of the alt-right, that's inherently destructive. We are facing a revolutionary thing, and we need a revolution, a legal revolution, a peaceful revolution, but a revolution nonetheless, because this society, even if we lived in an all-white America, an all-white West, this would still be an unjust society. We would still have capitalist exploitation. We would still have broken families. For everything that was due to, it's also a lot of self-inflicted wounds. We need to bring back validity, true national revival. So this push towards Americanism is an inherently destructive thing. And I talked about this with Florian Geyer on Mysterium Vashis, the episode he did on American nationalism. But America is not a viable path forward for us.
And we're back. I apologize about the technical problems, my friends. As you know, doing a live show is always an exciting sort of thing to be able to bring you the most dynamic and hard-hitting news as it's happening. But at the same time, sometimes internet connections don't want to work with us. And that's one of the things that we have to deal with. But as I was saying about American nationalism and about Americanism in general, is fundamentally Americanism will not lead us to victory because it's inherently reactionary. And reactionary politics are not going to be able to save us. And, you know, we can't save America. One of the most important things to remember is demographically, the game's already up in the United States. We have the worst demographics of any European country outside of Africa. You know, when it comes to the amount of foreign-born, the amount of non-Europeans here. And we can't retake political power. By 2024, at the latest 2028, Texas goes Democrat. For the Republicans, while not the white party, they're the de facto white party right now. They, to be able to win, they need all of these swing states like Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, et cetera. And they need, of course, their strongholds like Texas. But demographics, whites are already the minority within Texas. So it's just an inevitability. When they eventually are able to get enough mestizos to the polls, Texas will flip. North Carolina will flip. Florida will flip. And we'll be in a one-party state. We cannot think that this is going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It fundamentally cannot be easy because the American system is rigged. You know, this democratic system is rigged to pull the power of the capitalist class and the Jewish oligarchs against us. This is what they've always been able to do. And we are not going to be able to vote our way out of this in the way of electing some sort of god emperor to lead us to victory. So we need to be able to have a clear vision forward. That's one of independence. That's one where we need to know that we need to build a nation that is for us and by us, because demographically, we will become the minority. Even if the United States stops all immigration and deports all illegal immigrants, whites will still become a minority within the next generation or so. So knowing this, knowing the facts that are on the ground, we can set ourselves up for our clear goals. It's, you know, it's very frustrating if we focus our time on things that aren't going to happen, that just aren't there. But instead, we should set clear goals. And that's where community building is so important. It comes down to the local members of our community becoming that political power by running elections for school board, for county council, for mayor, getting representation at the local level, showing that our governance is better and more just and more open and transparent than that of the Republicans and the Democrats, where we create a culture that is positive and healthy. This is where we need to be going. And that's what we're going to do. And, you know, pushing for independence, you know, there are independence movements around the world that are incredibly successful, that are gaining steam, where it's nationalism versus globalism. And we need to be able to have our own space, our own homeland. You know, as Harold Covington always says, if white people had a country of our own, this wouldn't be happening. And that's the only path forward, where we can be able to say that America, the Republic, has fallen. It's over. I mean, it was over a long time ago, whether you want to say it was when the Federal Reserve took over or during the war between the states with federal power, with Lincoln's army burying the idea of America in the blood of over 600,000 Northerners and Southerners, or it was with the Whiskey Rebellion right after America was founded, when George Washington gunned down Continental War veterans who were protesting against unjust taxation. The Republic has been dead for a long time, and demographically, it's already over. But this isn't a time to be sorrowful or gnash our teeth. It's a time to be joyful. There are so many states, so many regions, so many communities where our people are ready for something that is better than Washington, D.C., that is better than what we face. And we can be able to build a new and better world. And our enemy is not going to go along with that so easily. I mean, they hate us, right? This is the most powerful and evil regime in human history between NATO, the European Union, and the United States federal government. We can't expect them to jump along our side and just say, well, you got it. I mean, you know, facing persecution goes with the march of nationalism. I mean, how many thousands, millions of our martyrs have lost their lives fighting for nationalism? And as we see what happened today, there was the ban of the Finnish branch of the Nordic Resistance Movement. And this ban, of course, is absolutely ludicrous, but it's done in the name of democracy, some in the name of human rights. And this issue of democracy, I mean, it shows democracy is such a farce. Because if you have true democracy or a Republican form of government, then you'll let all positions be put forward and the people can vote on them. But in Europe, what they constantly do is they ban parties that go against the neoliberal, neoconservative agenda of the mainstream. So, you know, what's happened is Nordic Resistance has been banned because they're a national socialist movement. a National Socialist Party that is working to be able to have a free world where the Finnish people, the Swedish people, the Norwegian people will no longer live in debt slavery. They'll no longer have their sons lined up, for potential war with Russia or things like that. No, they'll be free, sovereign, and independent, healthy again. They'll get rid of the filth in the media, the filth in the food, the filth within society, and be able to have a healthy Volksgemeinschaft, the people's community. This is what is being built. And that's why they're trying to ban them. I mean, this is the persecution towards, the NPD faced their third ban attempt earlier this year. The attempt to try and ban Golden Dawn, the third largest party in the Greek parliament. They're trying to ban them as some sort of criminal organization when they're the third largest party in the parliament that democratically elected in free and open elections. But the system, both the conservatives and the liberals, don't care about democracy. Never forget, after Charlottesville, every Republican and Democrat in the House and in the Senate voted against white nationalism. They voted against our right to have self-determination. They voted against our right to organize as white people. They hate us. The establishment, whether it's in Finland or Sweden or Greece or Germany or here in the United States, both sides, both wings of this evil, 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 wicked vulture that is picking off the carcass of Western civilization, known as our modern political establishment, are trying to destroy us. And we need to understand there's going to be persecution. And this is a revolutionary, radical struggle. Again, a legal, political one. But this is one where we cannot stand to continue to maintain the mainstream as we know it. And I wanted to go ahead, as the show comes to an end, and talk a little bit about, this idea that things never change, right? And this push towards American nationalism, towards bourgeoisie nationalism within the alt-right, it's to get you respectability. It's the Jews hate you. If you are dangerous in any capacity towards the Jewish system, they are going to hate you. No matter what code words you use or how clever you get, we need to be radical national socialists. That is the only path forward. And speaking on this, I wanted to read, to close things out, part of a speech that Dr. Joseph Goebbels gave to members of the NSDAP. Yes, that is what we want. We want this kind of politics because no one else is doing it. The old experienced leaders of the people who can't complain enough about us, inexperienced youngsters, can't do it. Neither can the well-educated bourgeoisie or the intelligentsia, nor the tame political homebodies and mother's boys, neither the state nor those who conduct politics for it. But permit me a few little corrections. If we conduct our politics with inexperienced youngsters, whom we call the youth, German youth, we do so proudly, knowing that Germany's youth has escaped the poison of the present day to find a way to a new Germany. We don't care if this has experience with life or not. Sure, you're experienced in life, but you don't understand anything at all about politics. I know 18-year-old comrades in our SA whose sentence would put you to shame. We do not conduct radical politics, but where radicalism is necessary, we are not cowardly enough to reject it. The bourgeois gentleman complains about radicalism, perhaps because no one in his state is radical, and we resort to it whenever terror is used against us. We don't scream for the police like any old veterans association, nor do we hide like cowardly members of the bourgeoisie behind their fences and wait like cowards for whatever fate has in store. We step onto the streets and use our fists against terror. We practice the theory of power and conduct maneuvers to prepare for a ladder assault on the bourgeoisie class state. This that you and this is even on a question that's posed. This means you become a party favoring class struggle. You called yourself a workers' party. That was the first step. You call yourself socialist. That was the second step. Now you're speaking of the bourgeoisie class state. This is the third and final step. How are you any different than Marxism? And trust me, I get that sidebar. I get that all the time. You're socialist. You must be communist. No, we're national socialists. And Dr. Goebbels responded, you got through the winter just fine. Your very person is an incitement to class struggle. What gives you the right to puff out your nationalist breast and complain about the proletariat's class struggle? Has not the bourgeoisie state been an organized class state for nearly 60 years? Did it not give birth to the historical necessity of proletarian class struggle thinking? Did you not get a reward for your class state on the 9th of November, 1918? In the face of Marxist insanity, are you not able to see how it came out of your old reactionary bourgeoisie error? Are you not ashamed as a well-nourished middle European to battle undernourished, starving, unemployed proletarians? Yes, we call ourselves Workers' Party. That is the first step. The first step away from a bourgeoisie state. We call ourselves a Workers' Party because we want to free labor. Because for us, creating labor is the element that drives history.
because labor for us is more than possession, education, class, and family origins. That is why we call ourselves a workers' party. Yes, we call ourselves socialists. That is the second step. The second step against the bourgeoisie state. We call ourselves socialists protest against the lie of social bourgeois pity. Your talk of social legislation is absurd. It's too little to live on, but too much to die on. We want our rights according to nature and the law. We want our full share of what heaven has given us and what we've created with our own hands and minds. This is socialism. And comrades, with that, we need to understand the bourgeoisie nationalists, the ones that want to maintain America as it is, are not our friends. They're not our allies. They're the ones who side with the enemy, because capitalism and communism are two sides of the same Jewish coin. And we need to remember that we can do better than this, that white-collar workers, blue-collar workers, family men, mothers, the youth, the revolution belongs to us, because this system is an unjust one. This system is a tyrannical one. We need freedom. We need our families to be able to have a basic lifestyle where their hard work and their labor is repaid with a healthy life in a society built on healthy values, in a nation that we control for ourselves. So just remember, go back and read the words of Dr. Goebbels, Adolf Hitler, Cornelio Cadriano, Jose Antonio, and the other thinkers that identified the problems in the modern West 70, 80 years ago. This is the same struggle that we face today. The same reactionary elements within nationalism that want to sell us short. The same leftists, the same Jews, the same capitalists. This is the same thing over again. But this is round two. And in this fight, the truth shall triumph in this struggle. We shall not be defeated. We shall march ever forward to victory. So cut yourself off from these reactionaries, from these soft, effeminate bourgeois nationalists, and put yourself on the path of hardening yourself in mind, body, and spirit towards a free nation for our people. And that starts with charity, with self-improvement, and a fanatical dedication to our cause. So comrades, again, apologies for the technical problems today, but I love being able to speak with you and to be able to just know that we are correct. We will defeat our foes because we are on the side of righteousness, of God, and of natural law. So take heart, comrades. We're on the march to victory. Hail victory.
You've been listening to The Daily Traditionalist on Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.